Welcome, folks. This is Mark Steiner right here on The Mark Steiner Show and your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We like to think of our program as kind of pulling out interesting gems from our community. And Joe Trapea has been on our show many times in his capacity at the Historic Society. What's your job there again?
Curator of films and photographs.
That's exactly what your job is. And he's joined us to talk about film and more here on the program. He's joined here today by Liz Donadio. Did I say that right?
Donadio.
I'll remember that. Liz Donadio, who is an artist and educator and a member of this collective, which we're about to introduce you to. And Dave Baresi, who is part of this Beyond the Video Collective. Beyond Video Collective. And their idea is to resurrect the video store. And we're going to delve into what that means and why they came up with such a crazy idea. So talk, who wants to begin? Who starts? You wrote the email first, or do you want to begin? Who'd like to start?
I'll jump in. So there are six of us in the Baltimore Video Collective trying to open a store called Beyond Video. And five of the six of us are former employees of Video American,
which many of us were patrons of forever.
Yes, I think I called you about your late fees at least once or
at twice. At least once, maybe a dozen times. It's very possible, yes. Yeah, I think you actually made my mortgage. You made your rent payments on my late fees.
Well, it wasn't me making that. But the good news is there are no more late fees.
There are no more late fees. That's right. There's no more late fees.
We are trying to bring them back.
Though. Late fees?
So, well, you know, the whole thing. So, yeah, there are six of us trying to open this video store in Remington. We have a location picked out. We have the staff. We have some of the inventory. And we're looking to put together some funds to buy some more inventory and get the store ready to go. And we hope we can open it sometime in September of this year.
Is this a Kickstarter campaign you all started, or is it?
Yes,
it's a Kickstarter campaign.
Beyond Video?
Yes.
It's all or nothing.
It's all or nothing. So here's the question I have. Obviously, the first question would be, why a video store? I mean, here we are in the midst of this time when, you know, I mean, my youngest daughter never turns on the television, doesn't know what a, I mean, she knows what a CD is, but doesn't use a CD or DVD or anything like that. If it's on the phone, if it's, you know, on the computer, you watch it, you plug it into a TV screen, and that's it. So what, I mean, video stores had a hard time making it, right? They were losing business. So what, tell us why this erupted for you all.
We're definitely aware of the changes. We're definitely aware of the changes that have happened in recent years, and we're trying to adapt a new model because we feel that there's a cultural and civic role that video stores play that, frankly, corporate streaming services just don't do at all.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that they preserve films that are both local and global in scope, and they're not beholden to the whims of companies that sort of have their algorithms of what you want to see. Our experience, or at a video store experience, is a lot more of exploring a space and meeting new people, finding, discovering things as opposed to having things discovered for you, you know, quote unquote discovered. And we also just want to have something that's more curated with titles that you just can't, that even things that are on the AFI top 100 films that you can't get on streaming services.
Huh. Well, I'm talking about those in a minute. I'm curious about that.
And then let alone titles that are, you know, rare, unusual, out of print, you know.
That's that list?
Well, I think it's also partly about access, what you were saying about your daughter. She just, you know, logging in and seeing what's there she's right. going to watch. It's already curated for her, what Dave mentioned about algorithms. And you know, we think that people are stronger than algorithms. One of our supporters said that to us recently, and it resonated pretty strongly, that as a diverse group of people, we can create a wide-ranging collection of things that you wouldn't ordinarily see. And the experience of the video store, of walking in and kind of stumbling across something that you didn't know existed, or maybe finding an old favorite, there's a nostalgia to it, but then I think that there's also a lot of possibility for the way that we consume media and how as people, we can have control over that and not have it be some other site.
So this will cost people money still, right, to rent a video?
It will cost people money, yes.
It's just checking. It is a business.
In the nonprofit sense.
Yep.
So, in other words,
you all will be a nonprofit.
We will be run as a nonprofit. We know that that you really can't make a living off of a video store. And the thing is that it used to not be the case. They used to be cash cows.
Right. Exactly.
And we all saw that end. Though we all didn't work at Video America, and we all patronized it, and we all watched how that ended. And you know, there were multiple owners. Most video stores had multiple owners, and so that's a lot of overhead by the time you get done paying the rent. So we're going into it saying, you know, none of us are trying to pay our rent doing this. We all believe in this mission. And so the nonprofit model seemed to be the right one for us.
That's interesting. So this is it's a passion as much as it is a nonprofit business.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Obviously. Right?
And I think also it's going to look a lot like a video store. You know, basically,
as opposed to what?
Well, I'm saying if you go into the store, you're not going to know that it's a nonprofit video store. I think the experience would be very similar to any video store you've been to. But everything going on behind the scenes is, you know, there's not money going up to somebody at the top. You know what I'm saying?
So I've also heard, I'm going to come back to like what the soul of a video store means to you all, but and to all of us. I mean, the browsing, which I want to talk about as well. But a lot of people don't own Blu-ray, DVD players, CD players, people don't own them anymore. They're like, many people I know don't have access. Even their computers now, like this one I'm using, has no room, has no...
Right, Apple has phased out the disk drive.
It was a disk drive or something.
It's right. Noise is similar to that.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But you can still buy them.
You can.
If your computer is all that you have, if you don't have a TV. But I did a quick search on the internet earlier today, and you can buy a DVD player, a Blu-ray DVD player at Target, not to give them a commercial, but for under $35. If you're a big spender, you can go to Crutchfield. Really good catalog, right? And buy one for under $70. So, I mean, the price has really come down. And, you know, personally, I still have a living room full of DVDs, and most of my friends do. So,
well, I do too.
Yeah, and then, you know, also the proliferation of Redbox. They're still active. People are still renting out discs from those places, which shows that, yeah, they still have the ability to watch them.
From ignorance?
It's the kind of like instant video rental that you'll see outside the grocery store.
Oh yeah, that's what that's called. Yeah, right.
Maybe. Yeah.
Right.
And streaming services cost money, and you have to usually have multiple subscriptions to different services
to get
a wide range
to find what you want of
films. And you know, if you want to see House of Cards, if you want to watch The Handmaid's Tale.
Underground, you have to go to different sites to do it. You might have to go to Amazon. You might have to go to Netflix.
Exactly.
Other places.
Yeah, you're all over the
Fandor.
Place.
Right.
Yeah. And those are monthly, so that price adds up too.
It does. Were they like between $5 and $9 a month?
Up to 15, yeah, I think some of them. Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
And that's not even to mention the cost of just a home internet connection. And not a lot of low income people don't have a home internet connection. And frankly, they're often still big users of DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to support. You know, have options for people like that.
This store also has class and social conscience.
Yeah, I think that's part of our mission.
I wasn't mocking that at all.
No, absolutely. That's a big part of it for us.
Yeah. So are you also, I'm just thinking, to rent the machines to watch it?
My research today proved that for $35 you can buy a new one. So we had to rethink, you know, what would you charge for a $35 machine? We'll figure something out. We'll figure out a way to facilitate people. We'll help people get DVD players, I think. We will also be a source for things like that.
So I was thinking about which we're talking about browsing. I don't know what our listeners are doing, but I guess I can look through them sometimes. I'll go to Netflix or Amazon, look through what they have, but it's not the same kind of browsing.
No, not at all.
Where you kind of can pull out a DVD case or whatever you're pulling out, look at the front, turn it over, read what the film's about,
Yeah.
We talked to somebody. Have you seen this film? Right?
Right. I've never, Netflix has never really convinced me to see a movie that I thought I would hate. But I've certainly been talked into it by either a coworker or someone in a video store. And they've turned out to be right. Like, I thought I was going to hate that movie, but I turned out I really liked it. And I don't know. I feel like I have you ever reached the end of Netflix? I mean, there's stuff they're not showing you. It's in there. But right. If you don't know to look for it, you don't know it's there.
Right. So.
And their idea of what you want to see is often just downright weird. I mean, I'd say more often than not, it has nothing to do with anything you remotely want to see.
It keeps telling me
I want to see this thing about wheat. There's like a documentary about wheat, and I'm thinking
they take the most embarrassing thing you've ever watched, and then suggest 10 other embarrassing
things.
They do that, right?
As soon as you buy, they do that. Yeah. Right, they do that.
And not to say that we might not do that too, but you have options with us.
And then you don't know how long something's going to be available, and that happens to me often, where this director's film is now available. And then, but maybe only for a couple of weeks or for a month or for how long, and then you go back to watch it again and you can't because it's not there anymore.
Right. And so how many films do you think exist the way you describe them, Liz, that just aren't there for people, that don't exist? You can't. I say this because my friend Robert Shahid and I, at WEA, there's a morning show. He and I have been talking about producing an hour-long show that is called You Can't Find This, which is music you cannot find on the internet. Mm-hmm. You cannot, and I discovered because I went to all my boxes of old LPs and started pulling them out. Did a stack set by my computer and started looking up all the titles, and you couldn't find them. Some really incredible artists, but you can't find the work anymore. So how does that translate in terms of film?
Well, it's ever changing. I mean, it's like an unknown. It's an unknown known, or is it an unknown unknown? At any given, it's like with books or like records. I mean, who knows what is currently not being produced? And titles switch companies, so it's not, you know, you may think it's not out there, but you just didn't look and see who actually owns it now.
Mm-hmm.
Or an example. I was trying to talk my friend into watching The Mist for the past 3 years.
The Mist.
The Mist, the Stephen King movie.
Oh, The Mist. I remember The Mist.
No one had it. All of a sudden, they're going to reboot it as a series, so Amazon picked it up, and now they have it. But for the last 3 years, I was regretting that I never bought that on DVD. To show my friend. It's even movies by people like Stephen King all of a sudden will just be out of print for a few years.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So what about the social aspect of this? I mean, you say you're not making money at this. So talk a bit about what that means for the three of you. Liz?
Social aspect?
I mean, what it means to work in a video store, the interaction.
Sure.
Expect this?
Well, it's...
Have you worked in one before?
Yes.
You worked where?
I worked at Video American.
You did as well?
At the Charles Village and the Cold Spring location. I come from an art background and not a film study background, so I learned so much by working there, just by being surrounded by these movies and just the things that we would watch during our shift,
mm-hmm.
or being able to, take things home and explore them, and then have people come in and ask, what do you recommend, and say, oh, well, I just saw this and this is how I felt about it, or... You know, we would have an area of rotating titles depending on what was happening in the world. You know, if you're interested in a current event, then this film addresses that. And so it's just a real direct experience that happens on a physical, tangible level. And with looking at a streaming service, you're just kind of like sending out your information out into the void, it feels like sometimes, and you don't have someone coming back and saying, great idea,
Right. Yeah, so, the whole idea of what do you recommend is a common question in a video store,
mm-hmm.
right?
No, it's the biggest one.
Yeah. Right?
What should I see? What should I watch tonight?
Same thing when you go to a restaurant. A common question to a waiter or a waitress is, what would you recommend? I have you. What's good? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the same thing.
Your question about... the social aspect of this, one thing to consider is that no one, really almost no one who worked for a video store ever made very much money anyway.
That's right.
So this
right.
is not a stretch.
Yeah, right.
and we're essentially a workers' collective. Mm-hmm. We're owner workers. Only we're doing it as nonprofit, and you know we'll each divvy up days. We do hope to have enough income to hire at least one full or near full time person.
You're gonna take, none of you are going to take money from your work there?
In the beginning, no. I mean, we'll see how it goes. I think that the first priority is to make the store work and to grow the collective to the point where none of us have to be stuck there, you know, 3-4 days a week. I think the rough idea is we each pull a shift and strive to have enough money to hire a full-time employee that gets paid a living wage.
So let me come back to the kind of brass tacks, practical issues of this. When you think everything from Blockbuster to Video Americon has gone out of business, in large part because, as we talked earlier, about the ability to stream Netflix and the rest, and there are film buffs, people who love film, who really, really like to delve into film, that would go to a place like Video Americon and could not find what they wanted to see, let's say Blockbuster. But all those businesses are out of business. So why do you think people would come? I mean, why do you think people would want to come to a place on Howard Street by Charmington's, which is where your store is going to be, right? Mm-hmm. Why would they come?
Well, the important thing to remember is that there are other cities in America that have more than one video store. So take, for example, Austin, Texas. They have I Love Video and Vulcan Video. Austin is a lot smaller than Baltimore, and somehow they get to have two video stores. I was just in Chicago. They have two video stores. They have Facets and Odd Obsessions.
Well, there are 8 million people in Chicago.
Well, okay.
Right. But even Richmond, you could throw out Richmond has a video store, and it's like, why not? Why doesn't Baltimore?
Seattle has a video store. Yeah, why not Baltimore? That's our question.
Are we not as good as Richmond?
We're better than Richmond. So I mean, we have no video stores in Baltimore at all?
No.
I mean, there's Redbox if you want to count Redbox.
No, that's it, right.
But they offer a very different service, you know.
That's where you put your money in and just pop it out at the grocery store, as you were saying
earlier. It's mostly just new releases.
Right.
Yeah, as far as I know, there are no functioning video stores in our city.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's right.
So what would you carry at this store? That'd be different than what you could find on Netflix or anyplace else.
Well, we already have a great deal of the Criterion collection, and getting that collection was actually what spurred us in this endeavor in the last days of Video American, when a few of us got together and were questioning, you know, how could we keep this in the city? And I was in upstate New York visiting family, happened across a yard sale. Oh, there's a lot of movies here. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a lot of Criterion films here. Oh, there's like the entire collection here. And I was very lucky to have that offered to me at a very low price considering. And so that was like the first member dues, was we all pitched in and bought all of these films. And then from there, through donation and through selective ordering, that's how we've built it. So renowned films like Criterion, but also, you know, things that are more obscure or off the wall.
Right. So what is the Criterion collection for those of us who don't know?
So Criterion is a company that takes films, and really any kind of film, from like The Rock is a Criterion film, but a lot of Wes Anderson films come out on Criterion, but then also more obscure foreign titles. And so they restore the film, and often they package it with special features that are really enticing. I'm trying to think of an example of a good one, but I'm a big fan of Luis Buñuel, and a lot of his films come with extra documentaries or interviews with people who worked with him. And that's another thing that streaming sites don't give you. I think one of them tried to put Criterion extra special features on streaming, but I never got to use it, so I'm not sure if that's if that was a thing or not. But they're just really like great special edition packages of films.
So Go ahead.
Oh, and I was going to add, I think that they're also very actively trying to push the boundaries of like what the canon is. So there are a lot of things that are obvious picks for them, but I think they're also trying to expand people's horizons and maybe create a sense of a new canon, you know, which I think is a worthy mission. Well, just, you know, maybe there's, you know, a smaller, lesser known film that hasn't been a part of the canon, you know.
Right.
I think they're just trying to expand those boundaries with maybe some more adventurous picks.
So would you pull things in like TV shows that you can't find anymore as well as part
of? We actually have quite a few TV shows in our collection just from donations. We actually had a donation center set up at the Free Book Thing before they had their fire that you know, so probably some of our stock got burned in that fire, I'm
not
sure.
Not good.
We don't know for sure. But yeah, we have quite a few TV shows, all sorts of titles. So it's really a great selection so far. And more offers have come in as part of the Kickstarter campaign.
Do you know what it would cost for somebody to rent a film from your spot once you start?
We haven't quite figured out the pricing yet, or did I miss that meeting?
No. we've discussed different ways of being a member, where you could rent a single title, or you could pay a certain amount every month and get a certain amount of rentals. And so that price would vary from, you know, $25 to maybe $40 for, you know, 10 rentals a month or unlimited or something like that. You know, the nuts and bolts of the process are maybe, you know, the thing that we're going to figure out when it gets funded the most. We don't have a specific, but we'll keep it affordable, it within the range.
I mean, even when Video American was open, we were constantly changing the prices. It was a constant struggle to keep up with what people expect. So I think once we know the store is going to open, we're already doing research, calling other stores, saying, you know, what software are you guys using, asking advice. So we'll look around and see which models are working out for people and which ones aren't, and just try to offer the widest range of possibilities.
So one of the things you said, if we raise money, the money you're raising. So talk about that. We need to get to that. It's part of the reason you're here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So who wants to jump into that?
So we're trying to raise $30,000 through Kickstarter. We are currently
let me see where you are.
35% of the way there.
A little bit more than that now.
Yeah. A little over 11. Yeah. We have 7 days left to go. Of course.
Where is it? I'm looking for it. Is this not it? No,
that's
not it. That's not it. We keep talking.
But that should take you to it.
Okay. Go. I'll find it.
We have about 7 days left to go, and as these all or nothing Kickstarter campaigns go, you pretty much all the action happens at the beginning and at the end. But it is all or nothing. So if we don't make it, if we don't make the full 30, we don't get any of it. So
you've raised $11,550 so far.
Yes.
And you're going for $30,000. You have 7 days to go.
Yes.
191 people have already backed the project.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I think that speaks to, I mean.
And so you go to Beyond Video, Kickstarter campaign, Beyond Video, Return of the Video Rental Store in Baltimore. Like, it sounds like a horror movie. I meant the Return of the Video Rental Store. And it comes back.
I think you can find the campaign from our website, which is beyondvideo.org.
Yes, and we also have a Facebook page.
Yeah, you can like us on Facebook.
Yeah. Please do all of it.
Don't like you unless you're going to send some money.
Yes.
And there's a lot of incentives that you can, get for bidding certain amounts, shirts, tote bags. People love tote bags.
People do love
pins.
Tote bags. We have very cool pins.
We've been hearing
you've been listening to public radio too long.
people are talking about those tote bags. They really want those tote bags. So of course there's our sincere thanks and gratitude, and then a little something to go your way.
So go against the stream. I love it. Curated, rare, essential DVD, Blu-ray, VHS community. The community part is a big part of this.
Big part.
For sure.
We have a lot of great models in Baltimore, places like Red Emma's, 2640 Space. Mm-hmm. So we're just following along in a tradition of work that's already happening.
And there are also video stores nationally that have followed a model similar to this, or in some way either switched to a nonprofit entirely or pursued through Kickstarter. They've had campaigns to save their collections and whatnot. So there are models out there that we're trying to follow.
That's just fascinating. I mean, I love this idea. I mean, I really, when you first entered Joy, I went, what are you talking about? A video store? Who's going to go to a video store?
We're hoping the same people that go to record stores now, which people had counted record stores out. But look at how many have sprung up around the city.
Well, I mean, and for me, the thing about record stores is, and records in general, and CDs even in general, is that you when you download something, which I do all the time, there are no liner notes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And the liner notes, to me, are just what you learn about the piece of music and the artist. And
I spent years, when I first started as a customer at Video American, and around the same time that DVDs started having audio commentary, it was just like film school, listening to an entire, or watching a whole film, and then just starting up the director's commentary and watching the whole film again with the director's commentary, and just learning, whether it's learning about the actual making of a film or just behind the scenes, just it's exciting. And that was before we had podcasts, that was a huge part of our consumption of that media, you know.
So we encourage folks, Kickstarter, Beyond Video, Return of the Video Rental Store in Baltimore. And it's going to be over on Howard Street by Charmington's, right?
Yes.
Up from the Auto Bar?
Yes.
In Remington. So it's worth your support. This would be kind of cool to have back. It'd be a really interesting.
We hope so.
Piece of culture in here in the city. It'd be good.
Yeah.
So we've been here with three of the principals of the Beyond Video Collective: Joe Trapeo, who is a filmmaker and works at Maryland Historical Society; Dave Varese, who is also part of the collective; and Liz Donadio.
Donadio.
I'm sorry. Okay. Such a good name too, Donadio. Liz Donadio, who is an artist educator and a collective member. Good luck with this. So. Check it out, Beyond Video, and if you're ready for a video store, jump in.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.